was dating, and one night they were talking on the phone. And the girlfriend asked her boyfriend, if I was out in the rain and it's a terrible storm, we were together, and I forgot my coat. They're waving at me for something. I can't even read that. It's too far away. You don't have my notes? They're not in their prayer room. I just checked. Maybe check my office. Okay. Boy, it's one of those days. I was so focused on going to the prayer room, I forgot about everything else. Now, maybe that's not a bad thing. Maybe not a bad thing. But they'll figure that out as I tell my story again. So this couple was together, and they were spending time, talking on the phone. The girlfriend asked, hey, we're in a bad storm. If I forgot my coat, would you give me your coat? Yes, I would give you my coat. Well, what happens if my car broke down and I needed a car? Would you give me your car? Oh, yes, for sure. I would give you my car. What happens if we were stranded on a desert island and I didn't have any water? Would you give me your water? Oh, yes, honey, I would give you my water. This goes on for a little while, and she keeps asking these scenarios and all these cases. And finally gets to the point, and she says, what would happen if I was crossing the street and I was going to be hit by a bus? Would you push me out of the way and die for me? He stopped, paused for a moment, and then said, no, mine is an undying love. At the beginning of the book of Revelation, Jesus gives a revelation to John, and he tells him to write it down. He writes down letters to the seven churches. Now, you understand, these are churches that actually existed at that time. Real churches existed at that time. It was written for them, but it wasn't just written for them. It was also written for us as well, these letters. Because it says in the latter part of chapter 2, verse 7, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Do we have ears? Some are a little bigger than others. But we all can hear. So if we can hear, these letters are written for us. So we should be listening to what God is saying this morning as if it was written to us. You could say, a letter to Paul, a letter to Sharon, letter to Jason. It could be a letter directed right to us. We should listen to what it has to say because it was written to us. So the first letter was written to the church of Ephesus. Now, Ephesus was one of the greatest and richest cities, one of the largest cities at that time, one of the largest harbors in Asia. It was one of a few free cities. Most cities would have a Roman garrison where the Romans would be there all the time watching it. This city didn't need to have a garrison, didn't have to have the Romans there all the time. They were free to rule and govern themselves. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, it says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. Okay, let me help you with that. The one who holds the lampstands is Jesus, or holds the stars is Jesus. So it's talking about the one who holds the stars is Jesus. The stars are the angels of those churches. The seven stars were seven angels that watched over those churches. The seven lampstands were the seven churches. So if we read that just a little differently, To the words to him, so of him, of Jesus, who holds the seven angels in his right hand and walks among the seven churches. That's what it's saying. So Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people and that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not. and you have found them false. You have persevered, and you have endured hardship for my name, and have not grown weary. Understand, Ephesus, it was a stronghold of pagan worship. The worship of the goddess Diana. It also had another temple, Artemis. Artemis was full of, the temple was full of immorality and crime. In fact, if you committed a crime, you could just run to that temple and no one could touch you. You were safe. It was like a safe house for criminals. The church was in a very corrupt city. Lots of immorality, lots of evil going on. But they kept themselves from being involved in it. In fact, they hated it, what was going on. They didn't reject people, but they rejected the sin. And that's important for us in the culture we live in. There's all kinds of crazy things going on, isn't there? Now we're legalizing marijuana. Everything's fine. It's okay. Right? And now, do you notice on TV, you see lots of commercials about people smoking and driving instead of just drinking and driving now? If it's better for us, why do we need commercials about that? We have all kinds of things that once were wrong, but now we say everything's fine, everything's right, it's okay. What makes things okay? People that pass a law saying it's okay? Or is it this that tells us what's okay and what's not okay? It's interesting how much we change over time, and people, the things they thought were bad before, they think are okay now, and so it's okay to do it. You see, they were in the time and in that city and involved in all the things that were happening there, but and yet they did not allow themselves to get caught up in it. They lived there, but like the scripture talks about, be in the world, not of it. We live in a world, but we're not to be like it. See, are we rejecting the immorality, the superstition, the deceitfulness of the world around us? Jesus saved us from that. Don't go back to it. Right? He saved us from that. We're not. Let's not live there again. Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, second part. You have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. The church of Ephesus, they had people inside the church that were claiming to be believers and followers of Jesus but weren't. Some were very legalistic, and they were saying that you had to follow a bunch of rules. Do this, don't do that, and that's how you live for Jesus. Others were saying, you know, it really doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter if you sin, because God's grace is so big, He can forgive you, so you can do whatever you want. Both of those were lies. That the church, the people in the church could see who a false prophet was and wouldn't follow after them. Years ago, there was a Norwegian man who killed 77 people. He first blew up a bomb in front of a government building. He killed 8 people there. Then he proceeded to go to an island that was having a youth camp on it, and he killed 69 on there. They did an interview with the security people after, and they said one of the most dangerous things is homegrown terrorism. One of the most dangerous things for the church is people inside the church who claim to be followers of Jesus but aren't, for leading people away. We need to be so careful. People that say every Christian should be rich and have what they want. I don't really find any scripture that says that. Maybe some that say that sin is no big deal. It's okay, you know, it's really not that big a deal, and no, it's just a little sin and a big sin. I don't know where we get the levels of sin, because every time I read the Bible, it's just one word for sin. It didn't, no littles, no bigs, no adjectives that go with it, just sin. But we, oh, some say, hey, it's a little one, it's no big deal, God's grace. Other people that say, you know, if you blow it once, God's going to reject you and throw you in the trash can. All those are lies. They're not true. And don't follow those kind of things. Guard against false teachings. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11 says this, now the Bereans, who were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Understand, who's Paul? Paul the Apostle. He was no doubt the greatest teacher in church history. He was the most accurate guy in church history. He was the most trustworthy guy for teaching the Bible in church history. He was no doubt the guy who helped write the Bible that God through him. He was the most educated guy about the scripture. Can you believe the nerve of those people when he taught, they went and read their Bibles to see if he was telling the truth? Hey, you know something? You'll never offend me if after I'm done talking, you go to your Bible to read to see if I'm telling the truth. In fact, I challenge you to do that. That whoever you listen to, whoever talks to, whatever they say to you, whatever you listen to on, in a podcast or on the radio or on television, I challenge you to check your word out to make sure it's true. Because how many times have people started out well and drifted away and went into error? A lot of the calls that are around today were people that used to be Christians that started them. They got deceived, they got led away, they got into themselves, and they screwed up. And so don't get caught up in that. Check out the Bible. Don't accept everything you hear. Grow up and check it out yourself. When my kids were little, and they didn't stay little long, I would give them whatever they were going to eat, and they ate it. It didn't take them very long until they decided what they wanted to eat. I think that we need to be checking that out and what God is feeding or what is being fed to make sure it is actually truth that we're eating. Revelation chapter 2, verse 3. You have persevered and have endured hardship for my name and have not grown weary. The people in the Ephesus church, a lot of immorality. I don't know about you, but some days, man, this place called Earth, the world we live in, even the country we live in sometimes, or even the province, we look around us and see the things, the immorality that's around us, and everybody walks around like, hey, it's no big deal. See, this church, our church is not a whole unlike what that church was going through. The world we live in is not that much difference. If you read what was going on there and then you look at what's going on here, there's not a big difference. They went through a lot of hardship and difficult times, crime and immorality, perversion, idolatry, false teachings all over the place. They were harassed. They were made fun of. They were belittled. And yet they did not give up or give in on their faith in Jesus. They stayed true to their faith in Jesus. Just because we're doing right doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Did you know that? It was years ago now that we were raising our children, and Michaela was younger. She was probably a teenager, and they wanted to go to the show. And I don't know, parents, learn from my mistakes or make your own. You can choose. But I used to legislate everything. In fact, my son told this story. Andrew was with me. I can't even believe it's true. I don't even remember this story. He said that we were going shopping one time, and he had picked up these shoes he really wanted to buy, and that I was walking there, and I said to him, oh, do you really like, he was just maybe 8, you really, or 11, you like those shoes? Oh, I really like those shoes. Oh, that's nice. Then he said, this is his telling the story, River telling the story. We were walking around the store a little longer, and then he was still holding his shoes, and I said, oh, you really like those shoes? Yeah, he says, yeah, I really like those shoes. So I said, well, you know, okay, you really like those shoes. That's nice. That's good. So we walked around. He says, we were in the store 20 minutes. He's still hugging these shoes. He's walking around with these shoes, and then we get to the till. He's still holding his shoes. He says, I figured I wore my dad down. I'm being so annoying, but I don't care. I got him worn down. He's going to get me those shoes. And he turns to me, if we're in the aisle, he says to me, do you really like those shoes? Yeah, yeah, I really like those shoes. Then he says this, get a job and buy them yourself. He says, that week I went out and got a paper route. I was kind of hard back then, and so I was trying a new way with Michaela. Isn't that the way it is? The first one where they're the guinea pigs, the second one where we tweak it, and then the last one, hopefully we get it right. And then the older ones say you're too easy on, this is a whole other parent thing we're talking about here. Okay. So Michaela wants to go to the show. I try not to legislate, try not to be hard. But I'm trying to find a way to help her make good choices. So I say to her this. I said, when you go to the show, if you get there and what's going on at the show is something that you're uncomfortable with and you don't really want to be there, but you've spent all this money, just leave the show, tell me you left, I will give you the money, no questions asked. I will repay your money, whatever you paid to go on the show, no questions asked. She's in the middle of the show, or in partway through the show, and then she says, I'm really feeling uncomfortable. I don't like what's going on. I don't like the show. But I'm feeling a little pressure because my friends are there. But I remember your offer. So she got up and left the show, and her three friends left with her. I don't know if their parents had the same deal. We are to influence the world, not to be influenced by the world. See, people of the church of Ephesus, they believed the right things. They were even doing the right things. But something was missing. They were missing something. Revelation 2, verse 4. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come and I will remove your lampstand from its place. They were doing all the right things, but they were doing it for the wrong reason. They lacked love. When somebody first gets married, often there's a start of a blaze of glory, lots of emotion, lots of excitement. Then over time, the busyness of life sets in. When they first get married, you can't even pry them apart through a crowbar. You call them up and they're always busy, but they're only with each other. But then the busyness of life sets in and responsibilities. And after years of busyness, routine and struggles and mistakes and juggling work and kids and responsibilities, we have little time. They take little time for each other. Years go by. And it seems almost like one day, but it's a revealing where they realize that they're in the same house, they've been living together, they've been eating together, they've been working together, but they've not grown together. They look the same, but they drifted apart. I suggest that sometimes that's the church. That we come to church, we find Jesus, and we have a blaze of glory and lots of emotion and lots of excitement, and it's wonderful, and nobody can pry us apart from him. And then we get caught up in the business routine and all the struggles of life, and we go through the things, and we're doing all the right things, and we're still together, but we've lost our heart. We don't do it for the same reason we once did. It says in Revelation chapter 5, consider how far you have fallen. Reflect. Look back. Evaluate what it was like when you first believed and what you are like right now. So what I'd like us to do is close our eyes. Everyone, just take a moment, close your eyes. I want you to think back to what it was like when you first became a Christian. Keep your eyes closed. When you first became a Christian, when was it? How long ago? Where were you? Were you in a church, a house? Who was there? Was it your family? Your friends? How did it happen? At an altar call? Or somebody talked to you personally? What were you like after? Excited? Passionate for Jesus? Couldn't keep quiet about him? Have we changed? Are we better? Or worse? How is our love for Jesus? You can open your eyes. As a Broadway family, we're on a regenerate journey. Regenerate meaning a journey of spiritual rebirth, renewal, returning to our first love. We're creating things like a path for discipleship where we can continue to grow in our relationship, getting closer to Jesus. Returning to that first love. The great thing about modern technology, as much as sometimes it can drive me nuts, is that I have a multiplicity of ways that I can connect with Chris throughout the day. I could give her a call on her cell phone. I can send her a Facebook message. I can text her a little heart emoji, sometimes four or five in a row. It's wonderful how we can do those things. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Prayer is our connection to Jesus. It's the way we talk with him. We communicate with him anytime, anywhere, whenever we want. And sometimes maybe just to say, I don't know, Jesus. Just want to say hello. Hey, that's our way to communicate with him. Hey, Let's turn the TV off. Let's shut down the computer. Let's close our Facebook and Instagram. I think you will be, or turn off our cell phones. I think you'll be absolutely blown away by how much time you have now. Just by those simple things, turning those down, putting those away, getting those out of your life. Now how much time you have, spend more time talking with Jesus. Use that time. I mean, that other stuff just wears you out. Often by the time you're done it, you're not feeling better, you're feeling worse. You're feeling exhausted, like you're so busy, and you really haven't done anything. One of our longtime Broadway members, Essie Moore, passed away recently. She was 95. Even though her husband, Doug, had passed away many years before her, she still had a real love for him. In fact, the one thing she said to her son because it was so long between the time Doug went to heaven and she was getting there, she said to him one day, her son, I hope he hasn't found someone else. But the great thing about Essie was is that she loved Doug so much. And she couldn't wait to get to heaven to see Jesus, but to also see her love of her life, Doug. 95 years old. She still had the letters Doug gave her when they were dating. And when she read those letters, it rekindled her love for him. Feed your love for God's word, and it will rekindle your love for Jesus. Read his word and get it into your heart. Focus on it. Meditate on it. Let it soak deep into your life, and it will rekindle your love. Don't speed read the Bible. What? Come on. If somebody sent you a love letter, would you speed read it? Seriously. You would sit there and you would labor over. Well, okay. So who sends love letters anymore? Okay. If somebody sent you a love text. Yeah, come on. Right? Or wherever they do it anymore. Would you not take your time to read it? Would you not save it? Would you not read it over and over and over again? Absolutely. The Bible is God's letters to us. And we read it over and over again. It's going to rekindle our heart and love. It's going to help us to get him to know it better. Remind us what he's like and how much he loves us. Music is so powerful. It connects us with other people. It connects us to God. In John chapter 4, verse 24, it says, God is spirit, and the worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. In worship, we express our feelings, our emotions, how we feel about him, and how great he is. That's what we do in worship. An act of worship draws us closer to Jesus. Hey, I encourage you, worship at church, worship at home, in your car, at school, at work, wherever, whenever, with or without music, worship Jesus. Just take time to worship him. I want us to stand together. We're going to put a scripture on the screen. I would like us to read this together. Starting with the word Jesus. Let's read this together. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Let's read it again starting with love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. One more time, starting at love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Lord Jesus, I pray that this would be our anthem, that this would be our purpose statement, that this would be that what we stand on in our life, that we would love you with all our heart, soul, and mind, Lord Jesus, that we would return to our first love. Forgive us, Lord, for turning away. Forgive us for being distracted and busy and forgetting how great you are and how awesome you are, Lord Jesus. Bring us back to you. Forgive us for not taking time for you, for letting other things get in the way. Lord Jesus, draw us by the power of your Holy Spirit into your presence, even at this moment, even at this time. Just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord Jesus, help us to return to our first love. Rekindle in our hearts, Lord Jesus. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed. As we're here this morning and I'm talking about coming back to your first love in Jesus, well, you really have a hard time relating to that because you've never made a commitment to Jesus. This morning would be just a great time to do that. Be a great time just to begin that relationship with him and understand what it was like to have that first love with Jesus. So if you're here this morning and you want to do that, I'd encourage you just to say this prayer with me. Just between you and God. Lord Jesus, I'm here now. I realize my need for you, how small I am and how great you are. Come into my heart, come into my life. Lord, touch me. Forgive me of my sin. Restore me to you. In Jesus' name. Just keep your head bowed and eyes closed for a minute. If you said that prayer with me, I want to welcome you into the family of God. And I pray that the love for Jesus would just explode in your heart. And if you said that prayer, you're going to have lots of questions and want to know what the next steps are. And we have a Bible with some information that we'd love to give to you. If you want to just, you said that prayer and you want to quickly raise your hand, we'll make sure you get it right now. Yes, thank you. Yes. Just raise your hand quickly. We'll make sure you get that. If you didn't raise your hand because it's kind of new to you, but you still would like that, you can get that at the guest services table as well. Lord Jesus, we're here. I thank you for those that said that prayer. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you even right now, at this moment, would continue to plant that seed of your word and gospel in their hearts. And so I pray right now, Lord Jesus, as we take some time to worship, that you would stir up our love for you. Bring us back to that first love. In Jesus' name, amen.